Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to John in the 20th chapter, again in the New Testament and most of the way through your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along there. Beginning at verse 19 of chapter 20, we hear of Jesus appearing to his disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the door of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that though through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The period of time that we have right now, the period of time after Easter Day, yet before the next big holiday, has typically, in the tradition of the church, been a time that has been focused on teaching the doctrine of the church. So we're going to sort of follow that pattern in a little bit of a two-part series, a two-phase series. The first 3 weeks, this week and the next two, we are going to talk about living and how we are living into our faith, how we are walking into it intentionally. And then we'll have a little interlude for Youth Sunday. And then the following 3 weeks, which will take us through Pentecost, which is the next big holiday, we will be talking about loving and how we are loving through our faith, how Jesus teaches us to live out our faith. So we're talking about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known by the way that we live and the way that we love. We're going to follow the gospel text in John as we do this, where Jesus is going to be teaching his disciples how to live as his followers. So each week we'll ask the same two questions as we worship together. What does it mean to live as a follower of Christ? And what does it mean to believe in Jesus? This week, we're going to look more deeply, especially at that question of how do we live as we believe in Jesus. Now, this is the part where you get to participate. So I'm going to ask, if you are able, go ahead and stand. All right, and you're going to need two hands for this, or two arms for this. You're going to need a right arm and a left arm. Does everybody know right and left? You got this. All right, okay. So I'm going to read a series of statements, and you have to decide if you believe what I am saying or if you doubt what I am saying. All right? If you believe what I'm saying, if you think it is right, then you're going to raise your right hand. If the statement is true, if it's right, right hand. If you doubt what I say, if you think it is wrong or false, you are going to raise your left hand. Got it? Doubt, left, believe, right. Okay. Those of you, after each statement I read, those of you who have given the correct answer can remain standing. Those of you who have given the incorrect answer, it'll be time to sit down. All right? Play this game as you will. All right, here we go. First statement. Lightning can strike in the same place twice. If you believe that lightning can strike in the same place twice, raise your right hand. If you do not believe this, if you doubt it, raise your left. All right. Everybody have a hand? All right. Right hands are correct. If you raise your left hand, it's time to sit down. All right. Pretty good. Didn't get too many of you with that one. All right, the next statement. The universe is not expanding. The universe is not expanding. If you think that is correct, raise your right hand. If you doubt it to be correct, raise your left. The universe is not expanding. All right. If you have your left hand up, remain standing. If you raised your right hand, you may be seated. Didn't get very many more of you. All right. You all are doing well. The sun is a medium-sized star as compared to other stars. The sun is a medium-sized star as compared to other stars. If you believe this to be true, raise your right hand. If you doubt it, raise your left. Those of you with your right hand in the air may remain standing. Those of you with a left hand may be seated. All right. We're thinning the crowd a little bit. Here we go. All right. Now, this one was the tricky one at 8:30, so here we go. Humans are genetically related to bananas. Humans are genetically related to bananas. If you believe this to be true, right hand. If you believe it to be false, left hand in the air. Here we go. All right. We've got differences of opinion. This is great. All right. If you have your right hand in the air, remain standing. We are somewhat related to bananas genetically. Trivia of the day. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. All right. Here we go. This was the question that tripped up everybody who was remaining standing at 8:30. You cannot smell when you are sleeping. You cannot smell when you are sleeping. If you believe this is true, right hand in the air. If you believe this is false, left hand in the air. All right, take a hand. All right. Those of you with a right hand in the air may remain standing. Those of you with left hands may be seated. All right, we're down to three. All right, you cannot, it is true, you cannot smell when you are sleeping. You're enough awake. All right, adults can breathe and swallow at the same time. Adults can breathe and swallow at the same time. If it is true, raise your right hand. If it's false, raise your left. If you're trying it right now, that's... All right. If your right hand is in the air, you are correct. All right, down to the last two. All right. An octopus has three hearts. Right hand true, left hand false. An octopus has three hearts. Those are two right hands, and you are both correct. Last question. Here we go. The feta cheese variety originated in Italy. The feta cheese variety originated in Italy. True or false? True, right hand. If you doubt it, if you think it's false, left hand. And those are two left hands. You are both correct. Congratulations. You've won nothing but our admiration and our commendation on your trivia knowledge. All right. So again, like the paperclip in the children's moment, we have times where we believe there is truth in something and when we doubt that there could be any truth in something, right? And sometimes those vary depending on who you are and what your life circumstances are, what you have experienced, what you know. In our gospel lesson today, we hear that fear and doubt and confusion have been running rampant since that first Easter morning for the disciples. We meet them still on Easter day, but this time in the evening. The women have already gone to the tomb. They've seen it empty. The stone rolled away. They ran and told the disciples, and the disciples just can't grasp the truth that the women are sharing with them. They are so wrapped up in their fear and anxiety. They're still locked in the room, and they can't quite get a hold that there might be a different reality out there. Now, you might have thought that when they heard the news from the women, they'd rush out the door and go party in the streets, share the good news, yell it out. But they were paralyzed by the uncertainty that they felt, the fear of what might lie ahead for them. They still had doubts. They weren't entirely sure that Jesus had risen. They hadn't gained the understanding and peace and comfort that the women had as they visited the tomb that morning, and they weren't quite yet ready to believe that Jesus was alive. And so it's into these moments of great fear and anxiety that we find the disciples scared for their lives, locked away in a room today. The disciples have every right to be scared and terrified. They've just seen their leader crucified and are now concerned that they may very well be next. It's perfectly understandable for them to feel scared and anxious, to be nervous, to be anything but peaceful. And so it's into the midst of this swirling storm of anything but peace that Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." Now, Jesus means this as more than just a pleasantry, as more than just a greeting. He means to come in peace, the sort of peace that only comes from God. Now, I have to imagine that the disciples felt a little bit more comfortable having seen now the reality that they had been told, knowing that Jesus now was not a ghost or a figment of their imagination as they saw and felt his hands and side. Before them, they saw Jesus. And in the presence of Jesus, they began to experience that peace that surpasses our understanding. Now, after bringing the disciples peace, Jesus did something else. He breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit, and then immediately told them that he had a task for them to do. They were to exit the room, to leave their safe spot, their home base, the shelter in the midst of a spiritual and political storm. Jesus was sending his disciples into the world. They had a mission now, the antithesis of sitting locked up in a room filled with anxiety. They were to go out into the world beyond the four corners of their safe room and to be a witness to God's actions and God's ongoing work in the world. Having the peace of Christ didn't mean for the disciples, and it doesn't mean for us today, that there's suddenly a complete lack and void of fear or anxiety. Having received verification that Jesus was still with them and that indeed they did serve a risen and living Savior, the disciples got some instruction about how their life would be changed forever. They were being sent out as people to live in the world, people who had the power of the Holy Spirit to make God known to the world and to forgive. Now, it's into this new sort of buzz in the room that Thomas walks. He gets back to that room that had been locked and full of anxiety, which is now abuzz with what has just taken place, even though Jesus is no longer there. There are suddenly 10 different people trying to tell Thomas of what they have just seen and experienced. They echo Mary's excited news, telling him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, though, he still has some doubts. He hasn't seen Jesus as the other disciples have. And it's perfectly reasonable to believe that a dead man stays, well, dead. Sometimes we're quick to assign blame to Thomas because of his unbelief, even though the others obviously had their own doubts until they saw and heard from Jesus himself. You see, Thomas is only asking for what the others have already received, and that is seeing Jesus with his wounds and all. And Thomas gets that opportunity about a week later. Jesus once again appears to his disciples who, perhaps strangely, are still in that room with the doors locked. Once more, he greets them in the same way. "Peace be with you." Then comes Thomas's moment in the spotlight, the moment when he sees Jesus for the first time, the moment when his doubt becomes belief. Now, Jesus doesn't hold it against Thomas that he hadn't yet believed. Instead, Jesus gives Thomas what he needs so that Thomas can believe. Jesus, in a way, gives Thomas a makeup test. We don't have to miss out because we don't believe what others have already seen and believed, because Jesus meets us where we are. He meets Thomas where he is, and he moves Thomas from doubt to belief. He focuses on what he can do, on the transformation that can take place. And Thomas believes. Thomas expresses his belief in five short words. He says, "My Lord and my God." Brothers and sisters, faith is hard. Believing without certain proof, by only hope and trust, is difficult. It's something that we all struggle with from time to time. And we aren't alone when we struggle in our faith. Thomas did. Each of the disciples did. So when you struggle, when you might have doubts, tell a brother or sister. There's more than just 10 or 11 of us in this room. We've got all sorts of people who surround us, who can tell us the stories of Jesus with a new exuberance, reminding us of the encounters that we have each had with God and that we will continue to have. So when you have a brother or sister come to you who is weary and beaten down, who is doubting and confused, who is hurting and troubled, tell them the stories of Jesus. Tell them your version of, I have seen the Lord. Remind them when we have seen the Lord. Recall those times as you can say, remember when. And God was right there, right in the middle of it. Because if we can't find a way to tell the stories of Jesus, the stories that ground our faith, then we've got some hard work to do in our walk as disciples. So my prayer for us is that each of us will be able to tell each other the stories of Jesus, that we can tell them truthfully in the ways that we know best, in the ways that challenge and encourage, that lift our eyes up to God, and that help us shoulder the cares and concerns of our neighbors, all the while resting in the assurance of God's care for us. So tell the stories of Jesus, whether it's at this level of a whisper, whether you sing the stories of Jesus, whether you cry while telling them or giggle, whether you yell them at the top of your lungs, or just tell them in the best way that you know how. You see, Jesus made sure to tell his disciples that they had a story to tell long after his resurrection. The mission is to continue, a mission that means we get to tell of God's great love and grace and forgiveness. Let us pray. Faithful God, you continue to be present with us through the Holy Spirit. Grant us your abiding joy and peace, that in any circumstance we face, we will be able to praise you. Help us to witness to the good news of abundant life to all those we encounter this week. Amen.